So if you've ever had a dog and you have not been happy with that dog and you have expressed that unhappiness with that dog, you've probably seen that behavior. The doggy kind of bows low. He's got the big eyes.
Sad dog.
What do dogs actually mean when they look guilty like that?
They're guilty?
You would hope. You would think. Such canine cowering, though, according to some researchers, actually is a complex survival tactic among dogs' wolf relatives.
Okay.
That's why animal behaviorists, they call it an apology bow. Researchers at City University of New York were working on this about a year ago, and they say that young wolves actually show those same apology bows as they begin social integration with their pack. And they say your dog actually does that same thing. So wolves engage in that same kind of rough and tumble play as dogs do. For instance, my big 75-pound dog thinks that Cooper is a fellow dog and that he can just knock him over whenever, which, you know, probably works because Cooper's kind of rough too. But anyway, they say that kind of becomes a lab for learning the pack's social rules with wolves. So if a playful wolf bites too hard, they say in their research, that animal will be spurned by their pack for bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to return to the social unit, the wolf must approach with this apology bow. So the same goes for dogs, is what they say. A dog in deep doo-doo will stop panting, will lower his head to avoid contact and put his tail between his legs, mimicking the actions of a lower-ranking wolf submitting to a more dominant one. So it's more of an act of submission than a direct apology. So even it's like,
Can we just take it as an apology?
Right?
Let's just take it as an apology.
Honestly, it kind of boils down to, can we be friends again? Of course we can. Of course we can. After I clean up everything that you just did.
Right. Gotta love those furry friends. They keep our lives so interesting, and they're a good time.
They teach us patience.
I don't have a dog, but I have so many furry creatures in my house. It's
honestly, though, have your hamsters caused as much difficulty as cats? Because I know the cats have had some difficulties.
I'm gonna be honest with you. The hamster and the guinea pig are more work than the cats.
Huh.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Just because of constant care or because of causing
No, not because of causing mayhem and mischief, although Leo the hamster runs in his wheel all night and keeps my daughter awake, which, you know, we warned her about, but of course it wasn't an issue. So, no, because of the constant, like, the cage cleaning, you think, like a litter box scooping, that is, we got to clean all these cages a couple of times a week or the smell bad, and that's in my living room, not my basement. So, super fun. We love them, though. They are our little furry
life
lovies.
Life lessons from pets. I have a supermom story for you. Now, the point of this, let me preface this. The point of this is not to be like, man, I should be doing a better job. No, I want you to hang with me through this crazy story of this ridiculously incredible lady, not to feel bad about yourself, but to get her perspective on what a joy it is to be a parent and what a gift God has given you if he's given you children. So, charity founder Layette Reback, she's 44 years old, from West Palm Beach, Florida, has 16 kids, 12 of them biological, 4 adopted. 16 children.
Okay, large family.
10 daughters, 6 sons between the ages of 2 and 22 with her husband of 24 years, David. she says, if I'd known by the time I was 40 I would have had 16 kids, I would have thought it was crazy.
Yeah.
As with most big families, she gets a lot of comments, you know, about why in the world do you have so many kids. She homeschools her kids on top of their schoolwork. The kids who are old enough to attend at least one sports club attend 88 different sports practices a week. 88 a week. This supermom who's written a book about parenting still finds time to work out and go for dinner with friends thanks to a strict chores schedule. This is something where you think, there could be some lessons learned here. Layette and David, who don't have any household help, okay, they don't have any servants or anything like that. They do have 2 tortoises and a dog. Get their kids to and from activities in their 17-seater Dodge Sprinter.
Of course they do.
I thought our 12-passenger van that beeped when it backed up was the worst. despite their hectic schedules, the family manages to eat most meals together and squeeze in a weekly movie night. She also says she tucks each child into bed at night. Here are some of the crazy things. Her 12 and 13-year-old daughters take charge of meal preparation. Pretty nice, right?
Cool.
Chef and sous chef, the family goes through $650 of groceries from a wholesaler every week.
Oh, my goodness.
$650 in groceries a week, including 12 gallons of milk, up to 100 eggs, 40 pounds of chicken, and 40 to 50 pounds of potatoes or rice.
You know, think about this, because how many people live in this household?
18
people. You think about preparing like a Thanksgiving dinner for 18 people. Yeah, she does like, this every day.
Every day. So again, the strict chore schedule. Corson, age 12, is helped by his brothers. They do the laundry. They wash, dry, fold, and sort 42 loads a week.
They have to have multiple washers and dryers.
My goodness. The other tasks, like scrubbing the bathrooms, vacuuming after meals, etc., are divided between the remaining children who get their jobs done between classes. She starts her day at 5:30 each morning, says a prayer, writes a to-do list before homeschooling the children. And again, you see all this thing, and like, man, it's just nuts how much this mom has on her plate. I admire her administrative skills.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what I loved about this. She says, I fully understand, this is a quote, I fully understand we have chosen to do life differently than most others, but it works for us. And she says, we would not have it any other way. I wake up each and every morning and think, I can't believe I get to do this. Raising children is the best job in the world. So don't take this as, I should be doing better. Take this as what you are doing, the fact that you are investing yourself mm-hmm. in your children's lives. That is enough. If you are a committed, engaged parent, you are doing the best job in the world. So keep at it.
Also, if I take a nap on her behalf,
right.
will it help her?
I know.
Because I'll do that for her.
In solidarity with this sister.
In solidarity. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, inspiration for sure.
Crazy.
For sure.
Super mom.
I guess so.
You are super moms because you're a mom. We are so proud of all that you are. You're surprised by an animal, surprised by nature, surprised by wildlife stories. Please, 715-396-1670. Leave us a voicemail on the Weeb listener line, 715-396-1670. Why are we talking about this? It's because of this story from Thailand.
Because it's entertaining.
As long as we hear your stories and don't have any ones. Honestly, the thing I've been most scared of here is when a spider dropped down right in front of my face while I was talking on the air. It was nothing like this. A terrified office worker fled her cubicle in Thailand, in a place I can't pronounce, after a monitor lizard dropped through the ceiling onto her desk.
I can't
imagine. The 5-foot-long reptile was heard scampering around the roof over the accounting department of this company.
I got the heebie-jeebies.
Then this worker said moments later, the beast plummeted through the roof boards and landed, boom, in front of her on her desk.
No.
It's 5 feet long.
Are they poisonous, venomous?
I believe they have a very, very big bite. Like, I think their jaw can, like, really, yes.
Yeah.
So, look, Google a monitor lizard and realize how scary this is and be glad we live in a place where the air hurts our face. Again, you're being scared and surprised by wildlife stories at 715-396-1670. Now, we've brought in the intrepid traffic manager, Michelle, to tell us her story.
this is one of my favorites.
Reptilian
chaos. Tell us a story, Michelle.
It's story time with Michelle.
Story time. I'm a homeschooling mom of boys.
Yes.
And it's so nice to have another friend who is a homeschooling mom of boys as well.
Of course.
We were over at their house one time, and the boys, of course, are flipping over rocks to see what's underneath it, and they found some eggs. Itty-bitty little tiny eggs, and they were all shriveled up and ugly, so we thought, oh, this will be great. We're going to take them home and dissect them.
Yeah.
Right?
Under the microscope.
Because they're shriveled up, and
because they look like dead, right?
Totally.
So we did. We took one home and left six or so there at their house.
In their kitchen?
In their kitchen, yeah. Isaac is
their
friend.
Because that's where you do stuff.
So Isaac had six or so, and Jared and Carter had one.
Yeah.
And left it on the kitchen table, and the next day we were going to actually dissect it. So when I woke up the next morning, on the kitchen table was the egg, and it was actually empty.
Oh. Like open.
Open.
Oh.
Yes. It was all shriveled up. I thought they were just dead. So then as soon as I noticed it, all of a sudden Jared turns his head really quick. He saw something move, and he jumped from his chair to grab a skink. See, we didn't even know what these eggs were.
Yeah,
we had no idea. It was scurrying across the floor. So he quickly did get it and bring it outside. So I did call my friend and let her know, you know what? Those are live eggs. She goes, I know. I'm chasing six of them around in the bathroom right now. That is my story.
How
of
big
homeschooling
were these?
Boys.
How
they
big were
small.
The skinks?
They were very small.
Like the skinks were just a couple inches?
The eggs were less than a penny, size of a penny. Goodness. Very
those
small.
Those were hard to catch.
Like, no. They were hard to catch, but it was so funny.
I'm chasing six of them around my bathroom.
Homeschooling is the best.
Momming yes. is the best.
Oh, I can't wait to talk to Patsy and remind her of that story when our children were little.
We'll send her a copy of the podcast. You okay, know, we podcast all the shows, www.com.
Let's get her version of events, too, right. At 715-396-1670. Yes. What is your being surprised by nature story?
Love it. Thank you so much for joining us, Michelle.
Oh, thanks for having
me. Yeah.
Caleb, we had quite the nice little story time with
yes.
Michelle.
We were asking for folks on the WIB listener line at 715-396-1670, what is your scared by nature, by yes. wildlife, surprised by wildlife story? And this is what Al told us.
I was up in Canada fishing with a bunch of buddies one time, and the fresh air and the wind kind of takes it out of you. So we went in for a nap in the afternoon. One of our buddies fishes 24/7, and so I was laying on the cot right next to a window on a homemade log cabin up in the middle of nowhere, and I heard something at the back door. We assumed it was our friend Bruce coming back to tell us he found a spot where there was a lot of fish. Then I heard nothing, and the next thing, I heard something right at my window, right where my head was. I turned my head, and it was a bear on the opposite side of the glass, chewing on the log, trying to get into the cabin because we had had an excessive amount of bacon for breakfast that day. I don't know if I even hit the floor when I got across the cabin, but boy, that sure woke me up in a hurry. You guys have a great day. We love you all. Bye.
What do you guys want for breakfast?
Gummy bears. 103.7
WWID. So there's been a lot of news coverage devoted today to former First Lady Barbara Bush, who passed away yesterday evening at the age of 92. And when someone in the public eye like this passes on, it makes you think about legacies, what someone leaves behind, how they'll be remembered. Barbara Bush, she supported her husband, former President George H.W. Bush, throughout his career. Great support for him. She projected an image of herself as what she termed everybody's grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's grandmother. But she was so much more even than that. She was an independent spirit. She was willing to speak her mind, sometimes bluntly, sometimes with a great grace of humor added. She raised millions of dollars to fight illiteracy. And this is something that I thought really interesting. How will history remember her? And so this comes from Jennifer Pickens. Now, she's a White House historian. She's an expert on the East Wing. She's personally interviewed dozens of White House insiders. And this is what she said about former First Lady Barbara Bush. And I'm quoting. Without question, Barbara Bush was one of the White House executive resident staff's most beloved of all first ladies. She was known to frequent the basement of the White House unannounced and visit all the staff and personally thank them for their service. She would ask them about their families, and she got to know each executive resident staff personally. Mm-hmm. They loved her because she genuinely cared for them.
Wow.
What better legacy than that?
That is amazing. She was an amazing woman who will be dearly, dearly missed.
Hey, this is Caleb from Mornings with Caleb and Hillary. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch us weekday mornings from 7 to 9 Central Time on 103.7 FM, 94.3, 93.5, 93.7, and anytime on WWIB.com or via the TuneIn app.